October 6, 2013, morning service. Today we are going to look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1 to 7. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the command of God our Savior and of Christ Jesus our hope, to Timothy, my true son in the faith. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. As Paul says in the verse, his work was commanded by our Savior, the God, and Jesus Christ. October 6, 2013, morning service. October 6, 2013, morning service. Today we are going to look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1 to 7. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the command of God our Savior and of Christ Jesus our hope, to Timothy, my true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. As Paul says in the verse, his work was commanded by our Savior, the God, and Jesus Christ. That was the drive behind his ministry, and this task and responsibility was ordained by God. Even now, when we say you received a command, that's a real responsibility. A command from our emperor, for example, used to carry a tremendous weight long time ago. Of course, God is higher than the emperor, and Paul was able to receive such command directly from God himself, and that was an amazing thing, I believe. And as we have talked, what happened to Paul was real. He was not imagining things. He did receive a command from Jesus Christ and God. Because of that, he went to many places like Mediterranean region and modern-day Europe, and he wrote more epistles than anyone else, though he was not one of the 12. His work shows that he was really used by God. The important thing is that he was really doing what God had commanded him to do. We all do what we think God commands us to do, and sometimes we may be just imagining things. Of course, doing something is always better than doing nothing, but the point is, Paul was doing the work God had entrusted him to do. Jesus said, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots." So if you're not doing the work of God, you may work so hard, but they will all be pulled up by the root, unfortunately. He reminded me of the time when I was growing up. There was an empty lot near where I lived. There was a row of houses, about four of them, and my house was one of them, and next to mine was my cousin's. His name was Toshio, and he was a year younger than me, and we played together in an empty lot, and we often built things there, like small shack and other things, and we would spend all day building things, and we go back next day, and these things would be gone, and some grown-up would tell us that they cleaned up the mess. I remember feeling so disappointed, because as a kid, we put so much effort into building those things. But for the grown-ups, our works were just a mess. What I'm trying to say is that what we consider to be our work for the Lord, they might seem that way to Him. And if that is not what He wants and what He planted, the work may be uprooted by Him. But what Paul did was truly commanded by God and the Christ Jesus. And 2,000 years later, the work is still alive, since his books are read here and now, and also in all over the world. So we should be encouraged that if we are doing the work of the Lord, we will see the fruits of the work. It may not be during our lifetime, since even Paul himself was severely persecuted, and he had to explain himself many times because of that. So even if we are doing the work of the Lord, being honored during our lifetime for the work is not guaranteed, but it will survive the test of time, and as Paul was saying, that the crown of righteousness is waiting for him. Our works reward is waiting for us too. Even at Remnant Church, I believe that we are blessed in the sense that we are able to deliver the message which can stand the test of time. We also receive the wisdom from the Lord. Paul was also receiving words and revelations from the Lord, like words about different countries. There are many revelations written in there. When we hold seminars, we also see many people start receiving words from the Lord, and I believe it will increase more in time. So since God entrusted Paul with certain work, God also provided everything Paul needed. It is like working for a big company. They go through a rigorous security checks, and once you get hired, they will give you the operational manual and all other necessary things for you to do the task, of course. And you will have to return them eventually when you quit the company. But Paul was given the revelations from the Lord, and the revelations were a lot brighter than the ones given in the Old Testament. But it was the truth, and people still believed them. Some of the revelations Remnant Church received regarding America being the nation of the beast and country in the north and the south in relation to the Catholic Church, and I believe those revelations will stay and continue to warn people. And I do believe that God commanded our church to do this. And God has provided us with the tool to do the work like He has provided Paul. Despite of our church's size, that's why we are able to publish newsletters and other publications, holding seminars and other works in overseas. It is because we are doing the Lord's work. This is nothing to be prideful about, but we see it because what we need are all provided. The verse 3 says, "As I urged you when I went to Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus so that you may command certain people not to teach false doctrines any longer or to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. Such things promote controversial speculations rather than advancing God's work, which is by faith." Timothy was Paul's spiritual son, and Paul tells him to stay and not to be confused by the false doctrine or myth. This is something we still have to be careful in this 21st century, because false doctrine and myth easily enter into today's church too. If we don't have to worry about it, Paul would not have warned about us. And it would not have been mentioned in the Bible to warn us in the 21st century. This is a very relevant topic. Like when you leave a heap of sugar or something sweet, it will always attract ants, even in an indoor place where you've never seen the ants before. Just like that, if we are not careful, it is easy for false doctrine and imaginary stories to enter into the church. I believe 2,000 years after the Bible was written, we are getting close to the end time. We are like matured and ailing stage of human history. And if we look at the Christianity now, I believe we see many false teachings already having entered into the community. We need to observe the suspicion to see if there are any mystical stories in anyone's teachings. Among Christian community, they say that we are the main line or we are the Bible-based. We all should be based on the Bible, of course, but we should not just accept such self-claimed statement. We have to see what they're saying in the light of God's Word, and words spoken need to be tested. Self-made statement is something we all should be careful. For example, when I was living in Kiyose, I wanted to buy a motorcycle since when I had was getting old. I wanted to buy a good one, a more expensive one. And Kiyose is a very in a very outskirt of Tokyo, and the bike shop there was very small. There was a bike shop I frequented, and the shop also had motorcycle there. So I went to the shop and I asked the owner about the motorcycle and his pricing. And the owner replied me right back and saying that his pricing on the motorcycle was the cheapest in the nation. I don't remember if I bought it right at the spot, but I did buy the motorcycle from him. And soon after that, I discovered that there was another store that sold the same bike for a cheaper price. So that is the reality of self-made statement saying that the shop had the cheapest price in the nation. It was not like he researched all over Japan to find the other store's pricing. So when somebody tells you that they are the mainline Christian or they're this or that, you have to examine their words carefully. As for the myth, there are many of them in the world, but there are also many entering into the Christian teachings too. Like being lifted up before the Great Tribulation or the Left Behind series. They don't reflect the teachings of the Bible. Many people in this century grew up hearing such teachings in the church, and they may be familiar with the topic, but the subject is not old at all since from the 19th century, people started talking about the rapture. Around year 1830, John Nelson Darby started preaching about the rapture in England, and he also preached the subject in the United States to spread the message. No one talked about the rapture prior to that. Luther, Calvin, or Wesley did not talk about the rapture. Of course, Peter nor Paul mentioned the rapture, but the teaching of Darby, though it's a myth, spread widely. And after the Great Tribulation, the Lord will snatch us away and lift us up and all the good stuff. But this is all myth, I think. In the Bible, Jesus is strict on salvation and gaining eternal life by saying that the path to salvation is narrow and only few will find it. And he also adds that wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. That's the real teaching of the Bible. If you take the Bible teaching at face value, that is a harsh reality, and even disciples asked Jesus, then who can be saved? But if you hear other teachings in the church, it sounds like earning salvation and eternal life is so easy by saying those who believe will be saved, and they say hallelujah and they think they'll never lose salvation. So be careful not to take this lightly since Jesus said only few find it. And he also said many will try to enter it, but they will not be able to do so. Lord himself said few will be saved. If we keep pressing on this subject, a remnant church will be marginalized. But we don't want to be judged for being a false messenger. Christianity nowadays is very easy on salvation, saying that once you earn the salvation, you will never lose it. You can steal and kill and destroy, but will never lose salvation. I think, though not certain, Luther said something like that too. There's a story of 10 brides, 5 wise and 5 foolish. They don't know when the groom is coming, and 5 gets married and 5 are left behind. And so will be with the Christians, even if they go to the church and then say, Lord, Lord. So do be careful with the false teachings. The Bible says many will say, Lord, Lord. Here the Lord is the Lord of Christian God and not of Buddhism or Islam. And even if they're saved, if they continue to commit crimes and sins, they might lose the salvation. Lord might say, I don't know you, as the Bible says. And many are teaching the wide gate for salvation, and teaching seems to be changing. But we have to stick with what the Bible says. The verse 5, the goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. This command is the same as the verse 1, the command from Jesus Christ to Paul. Though gospel and epistles written by Paul, we are to love with a pure heart and a good conscience and sincere faith. But it also says some have departed from these and have turned to meaningless talk. But reading his epistles, we are commanded to increase in love toward Jesus Christ and have our hearts even more purified with increased conscience and faith. But some will surely go astray in faith, as says in the verse 19. Some have rejected and so have suffered shipwreck with regard to the faith. Among them are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan to be taught not to blaspheme. As Paul also says, some people will go to the different course from the Bible teaching. There are many who call themselves Christians, but they do not forgive others, or they complain all the time, but do not do anything instead of pure heart. They hold on to anger and criticism towards others. Shoot. October 6th, 2013, morning service. Today we are going to look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1 to 7. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the command of God our Savior, and of Christ Jesus our hope, to Timothy, my true son in the faith. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. As Paul says in the verse, his work was commanded by our Savior, the God, and Jesus Christ. That was the drive behind his ministry, and this task and responsibility was ordained by God. Even now, when we say you received a command, that's a real responsibility. A command from our emperor used to carry a tremendous weight long time ago, for example. Of course, God is higher than the emperor, and Paul was able to receive such command directly from God himself, and that was an amazing thing, I believe. And as we have talked, what happened to Paul was real. He was not imagining things. He did receive a command from God, and because of that, he went to many places like Mediterranean region and modern-day Europe. And he wrote more epistles than anyone else, though he was not one of the 12. His work shows that he was really used by God. The important thing is that he was really doing what God had commanded him to do. We all do what we think God commands us to do, and sometimes we may be just imagining things. Of course, doing something is always better than doing nothing, but the point is, Paul was doing the work of God. Jesus said, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots." So, if you're not doing the work of God, you may work so hard, but they will all be pulled up by the roots, unfortunately. It reminded me of the time when I was growing up. There was an empty lot near where I lived. There was a row of houses, about four of them, and my house was one of them, and next to mine was my cousin's. His name was Toshio, and he was a year younger than me, and we played together in an empty lot. And we often built things there, like small shack, and we would spend all day building things, and we would go back next day, and these things would be gone, and some grown-up would tell us that they cleaned up our mess. I remember feeling so disappointed Because as a kid, we put so much effort into building those things. But for the grown-ups, our works were just a mess. What I'm trying to say is that what we consider to be our work for the Lord, they might seem like that way to Him. If it is not what He wants, and if it is not what He planted, the work may be uprooted by Him. But what Paul did was truly commanded by God and Christ Jesus. And 2,000 years later, the work is still alive since his books are still read here and now and also in all over the world. And we should be encouraged that if we are doing the work of the Lord, we will see the fruits of the work. It may not be during your lifetime, since even Paul himself was severely persecuted and he had to explain himself many times because of that. So even if we are doing the work of the Lord, being honored during our lifetime, for the work is not guaranteed, but it will survive the test of time. And as Paul was saying that the crown of righteousness is waiting for him, our work's reward is also waiting for us. Even at Remnant Church, I believe that we are blessed in the sense that we are able to deliver the message which can stand the test of time. We also receive the wisdom from the Lord. Paul was also receiving words and revelations from the Lord, like words about different countries, and there are many different revelations written in there. When we hold seminars, we also see many people start receiving words from the Lord, and I believe it will increase in time. So since God entrusted Paul with certain work, God also provided everything Paul needed. It is like working for a big company. They go through a rigorous security check, and they will also give you the operational manual and all the necessary things that you need to do the work. And then, of course, you have to return them when you quit the company. But Paul was given the revelation from the Lord, and the revelation were a lot brighter than the ones given in the Old Testament. And it was the truth, and the people still believed them. And some of the revelations Remnant Church received regarding America being the nation of the beast and country in the north and the south in relation to the Catholic Church, and I believe those revelations will stay and continue to warn people. And I do believe that God commanded our church to do this, and God has provided us with the tool to do the work like He has provided Paul. Despite of our church's size, that's why we are able to publish newsletters and other publications, holding seminars and other works in overseas. It is because we are doing the Lord's work. And this is nothing to be prideful, but we see it because what we need are all provided. The verse 3 says, "As I urged you when I went to Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus, so that you may command certain people not to teach false doctrines any longer or to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. Such things promote controversial speculations rather than advancing God's work, which is by faith." Timothy was Paul's spiritual son, and Paul tells him to stay and not to be confused by the false doctrine or myth. This is something we still have to be careful in this 21st century, because false doctrine and myth easily enter into today's church too. If you don't have to worry about it, Paul would not have warned us about this, and it would not have been mentioned in the Bible. This is a very relevant topic. Like when you leave a heap of sugar or something sweet, it will always attract ants, even in an indoor place where you've never seen ants before. Just like that, if we are not careful, it is easy for false doctrine and imaginary stories to enter into the church. And I believe 2,000 years after the Bible was written, We are getting close to the end time. We are like matured and ailing stage of human history. And if we look at the Christianity now, I believe we see many false doctrines and already having entered into the community. We need to observe this with suspicion to see if there are any mystical stories in anyone's teachings. Among Christian community, they say that we are the mainline or we are the Bible-based and we are this and that. We all should be based on the Bible, of course, but we should not just accept such self-claimed statement. We have to see what they're saying in the light of God's word. Any words spoken need to be tested. Self-made statement is something we all should be careful. For example, when I was living in Kiyose, I wanted to buy a motorcycle since the one I had was getting old. I wanted to buy a new one, an expensive one. And Kiyose is in a very outskirt of Tokyo, and the bike shop there was very small. And there was a bicycle shop I frequented, and the shop also had motorcycle there, so I went to the shop and I asked the owner about the motorcycle and his pricing, and the owner replied me saying that his pricing of the motorcycle was the cheapest in the nation. I don't remember if I bought it right at the spot, but I did buy the motorcycle from him, and soon after that I discovered that there was another store that sold the same bike for a cheaper price. So that is the reality of the self-made statement, saying that the shop had the cheapest price in the nation. It was not like he researched all over the nation, all over Japan to find the other store's pricing. So when somebody tells you that they're the mainline Christian, or they're this or they're that, you have to examine their words carefully. As for the myth, there are many of them in the world, and there are many entering into the Christian community too, like being lifted up before the Great Tribulation or the Left Behind series. They don't reflect the teachings of the Bible. Many people in this century grew up hearing such teachings in the church, and they may be familiar with the topic. But the subject started around year 1830. John Nelson Darby started preaching about the rapture in England first, and he also preached the subject of rapture in the United States to spread the message. Nobody talked about the rapture prior to that. Luther, Calvin, or Wesley did not talk about the rapture. Of course, Peter nor Paul mentioned the rapture in the Bible. But the teaching of Darby, though, is a myth spread widely. And after the Great Tribulation, the Lord would snatch us away and lift us up and all the good stuff. But this is a myth, I think. In the Bible, Jesus says he is strict on salvation and gaining eternal life. And he says that the path to salvation is narrow, and only few will find it. And he also adds that wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. That's the real teaching of the Bible. If you take the Bible teaching at face value, that is a harsh reality. And even disciples asked Jesus, then who can enter, who can be saved? But if you hear other teachings in the church, it sounds like earning salvation and eternal life is easy by saying those who believe will be saved, and they say hallelujah, and they think they will never lose salvation. So be careful not to take this lightly, since Jesus said, only few find it. And he also said, many will try to enter it, but they will not be able to do so. Lord himself said, few will be saved. And if we keep pressing on this subject, a remnant church will be marginalized. But we don't want to be judged for being a false messenger. Christianity nowadays is very easy on salvation, saying that once you earn the salvation, you will never lose it. You can still kill and destroy and will never lose salvation. I think, though not certain, Luther says something like that too. There is a story of 10 brides, 5 wise and 5 foolish. They don't know when the groom is coming, and 5 gets married and 5 are left out. So will be with the Christians, even if they go to the church and then say, Lord, Lord. So do be careful when false teachings enter. The Bible says, many will say, Lord, Lord. Here, the Lord is the Lord of Christian God and not of Buddhism or Islam. And even if they're saved, if they continue to commit crime and sins, they might lose the salvation. Lord might say, I don't know you, as the Bible says. And many are preaching the wide gate for salvation, and teaching seems to be changing. But we have to stick with what the Bible says. The verse 5, the goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. This command is the same as the verse 1, the command from Jesus Christ to Paul. Though gospel and epistle written by Paul, we know that it is a command, it is written by God. And we are to love with pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. But he also says, some have departed from these and have turned to meaningless talk. Regarding this epistles, we are commanded to increase in love toward Jesus Christ and have our hearts even more purified with increased conscience and faith. But some will surely go astray in faith, as says in the verse 19. Some have rejected and so have suffered shipwreck with regard to the faith. Among them are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan to be taught not to blaspheme. As Paul also says, some people will go to a different course from Bible teaching. There are many who call themselves Christians, but they do not forgive others, or they complain all the time, but do not do anything. Instead of pure heart, they hold on to anger and criticism towards others. If we truly grow and mature in the Lord, our Lord for Jesus Christ will grow, and our passion to serve Him will also grow. I believe such growth is visible in our church, since though we are small in size, we are serving in many ways. For example, we are going to publish a book on Kingdom of David and the Imperial Family. And this is not a new topic, and we are not doing this for ourselves, but for others. We are doing this with the hope that this book may cause some people to re-examine about Japanese history and society. And that's how and why we spend our energy, time, and money to serve others. We are doing this out of love for Christ and love for the people in Japan. I used to spend time only for myself, but now I'm doing more things for others, and that's a command in the verse 5. The goal of this command is love. So we ought to do what we are commanded and grow in love. Verse 6 and 7. Some have departed from these and have turned to meaningless talk. They want to be teachers of the law, but they do not know what they are talking about or what they so confidently affirm. This is very relevant in our Christian community. There are so many meaningless talks in our community. I used to publish email magazine, and I'm taking a break now. And about 10 years ago, a sister in Christ passed away, and I expressed my condolences saying, Meifuku wo oinori shimasu. And someone wrote me back saying that the expression was not to be used by a Christian since it is a Buddhist expression. I didn't know and I ignored this comment, but the person kept contacting me on this for like 3 or 4 times. This is such a commonly used language, though I did not know the origin, but am I not allowed to express my condolences in an everyday language? I don't want to use my time for arguing things like this. And if you look at the verses, the Bible is talking about the teachers and pastors as those who would start a meaningless argument. There are many like that. They would not talk about the real issue, but they would nitpick on an unimportant subject. Jesus warned us about this. Verse 7 says, they want to be teachers of the law, but they do not know what they are talking about or what they so confidently affirm. Paul says there are teachers like that. There are people who think they are the great evangelists, great pastors, teachers, and priests. But Paul criticizes, saying that they don't know what they're talking about, despite of what they claim to be. I believe this is what all the disciples were thinking. Though we only have epistles by Paul, I do believe that other disciples like Bartholomew and Andrew also wrote letters too, but they were not just selected. And I do believe that Paul also wrote more letters, and there could be like, I don't know, 250 letters, and only 20 or so survived, I'm guessing. But certain messages somehow survived and made it to the Bible. So when we read about those teachers, we do not know the teachers who do not know what they're talking about, we all have to listen to this warning with reverence. If we look around, there are many teachers like that in our Christian community too. So if we hear an ear-pleasing message like the Great Tribulation is coming and the Lord will come down and snatch us away from this world, so rejoice and be happy kind of message, you have to think this is what the Bible is warning about. Those teachers speak with confidence, but they do not understand what they're saying. Like yesterday, though I don't want to badmouth about anybody, I received phone calls inquiring about this month's newsletter in which I mentioned about the Pope. I knew it would stir some Catholics' wrath. And it did, as I expected, and the person left me like 5 messages complaining that he does not want to receive such newsletters anymore if I continue to write such message. The same person also complained to me a little while ago saying that he was not receiving our newsletter. But the Pope seems to be saying wrong things like, if you follow your consciousness, if you follow your conscience, you will be saved without knowing Christ. So different from the Bible. So we have to guard our heart knowing that there are all false teachers, starting from the Pope and many more. There are popular speakers and teachers who are eloquent speakers and draw a large crowd, but they don't necessarily understand what they're teaching. They could be talking about salvation for all, but the path for salvation is very narrow, and not everyone who attends the church would walk on the path like tares and wheat. And then tares are burned in the end. But if the teacher is speaking of universal salvation, he does not understand what he's talking about. Paul did not write this in vain. I repeat the verse 7. They want to be teachers of the law, but they do not know what they're talking about or what they so confidently affirm. The God is the God of the beginning and the end, and he knew what was about to take place when the end time is near. So he prophesied and wrote this to warn us. And this is exactly what we see now. The Pope, who said to follow conscience, is the path for salvation, even though you might not know the Christ. and not only the Catholic, and there are many Protestants who do not understand about the end time. So you have to be careful with those who are called teachers, pastors, and evangelists, and what they're preaching about the end time and salvation. If you don't understand the judgment for apostasy, you can't talk about the end time. It doesn't matter if they speak with confidence, like Paul said. So this is the message of the day. Thank you.